Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
That's some breaking news from the Minnesota Twins that kind of had been leaking out, but following approval by Major League Baseball, the Pollad family today announcing the addition of limited partners to the Twins ownership group. That includes Glick Family Investments, George G. Hicks, and, as I've seen reported, Craig Leopold, obviously, who owns the Minnesota Wild. So they will be limited partners with the Twins ownership group. Also, an announcement that Tom Pollad will be succeeding Joe Pollad in overseeing the Twins organization. They are brothers. Tom is the older brother of Joe. Pending Major League Baseball approval, Tom Pollad will also succeed his uncle Jim Pollad, becoming the franchise's control person and serving as primary liaison to the league. So that just announced by the Twins. Again, those limited partners announced. The Glick Family Investments, George G. Hicks and Craig Leopold, and that Tom Pollad will take over for Joe Pollad in overseeing the Twins, and he'll succeed Jim Pollad in becoming the franchise control person and serving as primary liaison to Major League Baseball. So what this all means in the grand scheme of things, we'll get into that a little bit later. In fact, an hour from now, Bobby Nightingale, who is the Twins beat writer for the Star Tribune, will join us and we'll break this down and we'll get his thoughts about what this means on possible, is this the end of the road as for ownership, or is this just merely a stop along that road to new ownership in erasing the debt that the Twins had, which obviously made them less than viable as a point of sale. So we'll get into that with Bobby Nightingale from the Star Tribune after 11:05.
A Colorado State University hydrologist is warning us to not eat snow.
Oh.
Apparently there's a lot of surfaces on a snowflake, and when it falls through the atmosphere, it can collect airborne pollutants and particles, including forever chemicals, vehicle emissions, dust, microbes, often all hidden in the snow. I'm not buying this. If it's crystal clear, I mean, the yellow stuff, questionable.
Yeah.
But, you know, pure white snow, if my kids are outside munching on a little bit of that snow, I don't think this is one I'm going to worry about. Am I wrong? Like, should I be super concerned about forever chemicals in the snow?
I don't think so. I don't know how many people are eating a lot of snow. I can't even tell you the last time I actually ate snow voluntarily. It's probably not surprising, sadly, that all that crap is in our air and it's getting on our snowflakes, too. But, yeah, is this a situation where, like, you know, fish, like if you only have fish once or twice a month, you don't need to be worried about the mercury levels. Yeah. But if you're eating it every single day, then you got a problem. So, yeah, I think you're okay eating a little snow.
Well, then I think you should be the governing body in that. You know, like the DNR tells you how many servings of fish you can have for each lake. What do you think? In Crystal, Minnesota, what is the servings per week of snow?
One snowball a week.
One snowball a week.
Baseball-sized snowball.
Yeah, if you have more, then you got a problem.
Right.
Okay.
Kids, you just do that all the time, though. You make a snowball, you just eat it like an apple.
Yeah. My daughter took some in the other day in a bowl and then poured some, like,
sugar water on it?
Apple juice over it, and then was eating that with a spoon.
Yep.
So I let her go for it. Everything is everything these days. I'm talking about everything bagel seasoning, which is on everything. It's it's like a thing. I opened a bag of crackers this morning in our meeting.
They were very loud and annoying, by the way.
Well, thank you. I didn't even realize what flavor they were. And then, of course, they're everything bagel seasoning. My house is fully on board. We ran out of everything bagel seasoning and then realized we had all the ingredients for it. So we made our own to rescue ourselves so we could have everything bagel seasoning, which went on the avocados that we served with the eggs yesterday morning. Oh, fantastic. Are you on board
with
the everything bagel seasoning craze?
Trader Joe's everything bagel seasoning. I think one time we purchased like 6 bottles of it. And it's great on eggs. What else do I put it on? You're right. If you're making avocado toast. Oh, jeez. The crunchy.
Here's my everything bagel crackers.
Yeah. Those are good, though.
Yeah.
Everything bagel crackers. I'm trying to think what else.
They're loud.
What else does everything bagel seasoning go good on? I can't think of it now. Eggs for sure, but there's something else that I always put it on. I can't think of what it is right now. Maybe hummus?
Yeah, just about everything. My favorite, though, is an avocado. You just slice it in half, so it's a half an avocado. Kind of score it, so it's little pieces, and then put a bunch of everything bagel seasoning and eat it right out of the avocado shell. Delish.
I have a weird thing about avocados, too. It's like...
Once you slice it, you won't eat it like a pickle?
No, I don't like I don't like eating avocado slices. They have to be mushed up.
Oh,
like
really?
Like guacamole. It's something about the texture of the sliminess of an avocado slice, but if it's mushed up, somehow I like that. Yeah, roasted vegetables. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Somebody says adding a little vanilla to snow makes a treat.
Oh, sure. A little vanilla.
Sure. Maybe some everything bagel seasoning on snow.
right on the snowball.
Yeah, roasted vegetables. Vegetables. Good call. Potatoes. Mashed potatoes, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or baked potato.
The long field goal has been changing NFL play the last year or two. I really noticed it this year, especially last week in the Vikings game. A missed 51-yard field goal, which is makeable and quite surprising that the Cowboys kicker didn't make it. It turns around and puts the Vikings on the 41-yard line, which is only 14 yards away from Reichert's long of the year. It's made for some really... unique and dramatic end-of-game situations where you're kicking a field goal of 55 yards, which you have a good chance of making, but if you don't, it puts the other team right back in field goal range going the other way.
Right.
Do you like, Adam, the way that the long field goal has changed specifically end-of-game play in the NFL?
I mean, I'd love to see the ability of these kickers to kick that, and it has a lot to do with the ball, too. You know, they have the kicking balls that are different from the balls they're using in the regular game. But I will say this. There's something to be said about, you know, when you get the ball at the end of the game and you're way down at the end and you got a long way to go, it's almost automatic now that they're going to get into field goal range. It just is. It's like the defenses they play, that it's almost automatic now that even if you have a really good defense, that an offense will be able to get into field goal range.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of whether that field... So in that, you know, I wish there was a little more suspense to that.
You wish it was harder for that offensive team.
To get into field goal range.
Especially with a lot of longer field goal or kickoff returns. Really you start at the 35, you only have need to go 20 yards.
15 to 20 yards. Yeah. So, yeah, I wish it were a little more difficult to achieve. But, obviously, football's got it figured out. We love the game. Somebody else says, same here. Guacamole, yes. Plain avocado, no.
Really?
It's just the sliminess of the slices of avocado.
Yeah, that's like the take of like a 5-year-old, though.
That I know. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Many businesses now are capitalizing on the 6-7 trend that's
Of course. They're probably, you know, 6 months late, but yeah.
Yeah, a little bit late, including Southwest Airlines. This is from their website this morning. The trendiest sale ever. One-way tickets as low as, you guessed it,
6-7.
$6.7.
That's pretty good. $67.
What do you think? Is that like a lame promotion, or is that smart of them to capitalize on 6-7?
Both.
Yeah.
It's lame, but also I totally understand why they do that. What about you? What do you think?
What do I think?
I think it's lame. $67, though. Good price.
It is a good price. I think it's a little kind of whatever, cheesy.
Yeah.
But I also think that things like that are very effective
mm-hmm.
in the marketing world. That
yeah.
turns heads. Like you hear your yes. kids saying this, and yep. this is this phrase that's kind of
I agree.
Become
yep.
so popular. And yeah, good for them if they can turn a dollar on that.
Somebody says, back off. I'm 60. Food texture has always been a thing. Love the show. Just kidding on the back off. No, back off, Dave. It's a real thing. Food texture issues. That's why I don't eat mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah. It's a good Ugh. Real thing for 4 and 5 year olds,
no,
for toddlers.
It's for human beings. All right. Our holiday showdown, booze or not to booze it up at the holiday party? That is the question. We'll get to it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Oh, snuck it in there. Great song. Ride like the wind, ride like the wind. Congratulations to Vicky. She heard Christopher Cross, and she called in. She was the fifth caller. She won tickets to see Toto, Christopher Cross, and the Romantics next August at Mystic Lake Amphitheater. Congratulations, Vicky. And you kind of, you know what? I did give it away. I did not trust our listeners enough that they would know that was Christopher Cross because it was at the end of a segment, so I kind of gave it away,
yeah.
and I shouldn't have done that.
Because some people were calling before you
I
gave
know.
It away.
I yeah. didn't. I trust. I, to the listeners, I apologize.
Well, Vicky is glad you gave it
yep.
away. She also was like me yelling at people walking on ski yeah. trails yesterday.
Oh.
So. Good job, Vicky.
Yeah. So she's going to see Toto and the Romantics and Christopher Cross next August. We'll give away tickets. Still 2 more days to give away those tickets, so your chance will come again tomorrow. All right. Holiday Showdown. We've done this one before because I brought it back because it really is a contentious one, and that is booze at the holiday party. And I am of the mind now where I enjoy a glass of wine or a cocktail, and I love to do it at a holiday party. So I am 100% on board for, yes, alcohol at the holiday party. I'm not forcing it on anybody. I think it's available for the people who want to enjoy that. And I'm not talking about getting sloshed at a party yeah. either. I'm saying I'd like to have a cocktail when I show up for the holiday party. And then when I'm having my dinner, a glass of red wine with yeah. the dinner. I think it loosens me up a little bit. It puts me in a good mood. And do I need it? Of course not. But it's a part of having a celebration is having some alcohol
yeah.
for me. And I know it's not for everybody, but it is for me. So I want it there.
What do you say then when your Aunt Linda, who's very excited to host, wants everyone there, is doing all the food the way you want it, but Aunt Linda, for whatever reason, maybe there's some history or something, goes, you know what? We don't do alcohol in my house. We're so excited to have you guys over. You can, you know, but you can drink a different night. Tonight, we're not going to. Is that, like, are you trying to steer the party a different location or bring your own or fight that in some way? Or will you just accept that?
I think I accept that. I'm not going to say, I certainly wouldn't say, well, then I'm not coming.
Yeah.
Or I need to bring my bottle of wine. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I would ask. I said, okay, I know you have this rule, but would you mind? I wouldn't mind having a little red wine with dinner. Would you mind if I brought a
yeah.
bottle of red wine? And if she still said no,
yeah.
then I would respect
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you this. Growing up, my grandmother, Nana, alcohol was not any part of our mm-hmm. Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. Some of my cousins and my family, they like to drink.
Yeah.
But you know what? Nana didn't want it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't there. And even like when my mom started hosting, when my grandma died and my mom started hosting Christmas Eve, my sister and I were the ones who had to sit down with my mom and say, hey, Mom, I know like you, this isn't part of your tradition, mm-hmm. but we'd like to have beer available or a glass of wine available. Yeah. And it was a struggle. She resisted, yeah. but we talked her into it, and now it is part of mm-hmm. that. But I totally get it.
Yeah, because I think the reason I asked that question, because I think the key is to be inclusive when you
yes.
address this issue. Because if somebody's hosting, like I said, that, you know, for whatever reason says, I don't do alcohol in my house, and I think the rest of us should oblige to that.
Absolutely.
And I think it goes the other way, too, where if I'm a house where we do drink, and I know a lot of my guests don't,
mm-hmm.
well, then you don't make alcohol like the center
right.
of the thing. You don't like hand out champagne for a toast when
yes.
you know half the people are going to say no.
Yep.
Then you can do it more subtly. Hey, we've got a hot chocolate bar
yeah.
with a bunch of things to mix in it,
right.
including, you know, things for kids and things for other adults and some brandy or whatever
yep.
you mix in your hot chocolate. You can make that an inclusive environment, so it's not like drawing a line between the drinkers and
yes.
non-drinkers.
And also, if somebody has a problem or is recently sober or is
yeah.
someone who you know has struggled with alcohol, you have to be cognizant
yes.
of that. And you can't just say, well, that's their problem. It's not my problem. No, that's not being a good host or being a good family member. In fact, we got a text here. I just want to read it. By the way, 651-461-9226. Maybe you're like my Nana Niniman and says, absolutely not, Adam. Christmas is about family. It's not about having a drink. Go have a drink on your own time. We're here with family. We got kids around here. Keep the booze away. I disagree with you, but I respect that position. Maybe you want to call in. 651-461-9226. Here's a text. I've been sober for 27 years. We have a Christmas party with the people with whom I drank before sobriety. They're all drinkers and great people. They can drink when they're here, and I don't judge their consumption. We don't provide it. They bring it and take it when they what they don't consume when they leave. Works well. Good people are good people whether they drink or not. I think that's a very responsible text and reasonable. But you know what? If you're 20, even if you're 27 years sober or 1 year sober, and you say, I'm sorry, I can't be around that, then you can't be around that, and you have to respect that person. And you say, you know what? For this holiday party, I think I can go 2 or 3 hours without having a drink. Hell yeah, I'm having booze at Christmas. Christmas, another text, Christmas with family is why I drink. There's something to be said for that sometimes, where it's like, you know, it's easier to deal with if I just take the edge off a little bit. But that could be very dangerous because then you have one too many and suddenly you get argumentative and nobody wants that. Back in the day when I was still working, we had holiday parties. We were given 2 or 3 drink tickets per person to be used at the event bar. That seemed to ward off anybody overindulging. That's what we had at our Christmas party on Saturday. We got 2 drink tickets. And, yeah, I mean, you could buy another one if you wanted, but that's kind of – and that we had that question. What? How many drinks is sufficient at a holiday party? I was saying, yeah, 2 or 3. So, yeah. Again, it's not a must. I just feel like in this day and age, if you're responsible, if you're a responsible drinker, having alcohol at your holiday party is part of the enjoyment of the evening. No, it's not the number one enjoyment, and it's not totally necessary, but it's part of the holiday, too. You like to have, maybe it's just eggnog, maybe it's mulled wine, Irish coffee, whatever it is. This is the time of year where we have those specialty drinks where you'd never really drink them any other time of year. So, as the last texter says here, bottoms up. All right, we will take a break. I've talked to our next guest before, but it was for a much different topic. He's an aviation enthusiast. He runs an aviation website, people who are fascinated with watching planes come and go. Well, he's been watching a certain type of plane come and go that is quite controversial. What is it? We'll talk to Nick Benson about it after traffic and weather next on WCCO. On Saturday or Friday, when we flew in from our overseas trip, a plane touched down at MSP, and as we were taxiing off, I looked off to my left, and I saw kind of a indiscriminate aircraft parked kind of over by the side, and I saw a number of vans at the bottom of the aircraft, and sure enough, there were people in shackles walking up the steps, and I said, well, look at over there. That looks like a ICE plane that's taking deportees away from Minneapolis and St. Paul. I bring that up because our next guest also has been viewing those planes much more frequently than I have. He's someone we've talked to before for a much different reason, because I share that Ave geek bug that he does. And I think last time I talked to you, Nick, we were all geeked up about a Airbus 380 that had made a stop in the Twin Cities. But Nick Benson joins me now on the John Schuster Cobalt Banker Hotline. He's an aviation enthusiast, also an activist. Nick, thanks for the time.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, thank you for the time to chat with you today.
So tell me about what you're doing in regards to tracking these planes that have been taking illegal immigrants away from the Twin Cities.
Well, I have been spending a lot of time, as you know, at the airport watching airplanes. Mm-hmm. And this spring, I noticed that we'd always have a charter airline coming in on Wednesdays and operating one of these ICE flights. And I noticed it wasn't showing up on the schedule anymore. And I started digging into why that was happening. And I learned that the charter airlines that were operating these flights had started taking some steps to reduce the transparency around their operations. They started using the FAA's privacy list that Elon and Taylor Swift are famous for using to mm-hmm. make it harder for enthusiasts to keep tabs on their movement. And they'd also started using a special military-style call sign that was also making it harder to find them on the flight trackers like FlightAware and FlightRadar 24. So I realized that if the government was making it harder to see, maybe I ought to take a look at it. And I realized that right here at Minneapolis, the number of flights was increasing. So this spring, it had increased to 2. And that was correlating with the new president taking office this January. And that's not my speculation. We've seen that in FOIA emails mm-hmm. between Signature Aviation, the private jet terminal here at Minneapolis, and the airport, where they explained that that was indeed the reason, and the frequency was increasing. That was this spring. Now that frequency has increased to 3 or 4 times a week that these flights are coming into Minneapolis. In fact, I think there's one on its way here right now. It's over central Wisconsin now, and I would anticipate that they'll start descending pretty soon. But including the one I believe that's going to land here today, just in December, this one that's heading this way now will be the 9th ICE flight that has come into Minneapolis to take deportees away. So,
these are charter airlines who are now in contract with the Department of Homeland Security to operate these flights?
That's correct. These are generally they're charter airlines, or they're the charter division of other airlines. So the three companies that have been operating the flights here in the Twin Cities have been Global Crossing, Eastern Air Express, and those are both charter airlines. The only reason you might have ever heard of them otherwise would perhaps be because they have a Department of Defense contract to fly some service members around, or perhaps doing an athletic charter.
Sure.
For like a college or professional sports team. And then the other one is Denver Air Connection, which is an airline that actually does ticketed service. They fly a normal route that you and I would think of when we think of buying a ticket to fly. Denver Air Connection flies from Minneapolis up to Thief River Falls and to Ironwood, Michigan also. So they also are operating these ICE flights now for DHS. So
when you talk about increase in frequency, so like even before Trump came back into office in January, were deportees still being flown out of the Twin Cities on chartered flights?
They were. This has been a thing that's been going on for a long time. It was once a week on Wednesdays, and it was a regular tempo. And if you were paying attention to what was going on at the airport, it's just something that you got used to, and it was the part of the regular rhythm here at the Twin Cities. So that was it's been going on for a long time. What's new is the decreased
transparency.
Yeah, the decreased transparency, the increased frequency, and then, the president issuing the directives to collect more people mm-hmm. and telling their DHS and ICE to kind of step back from the longstanding enforcement norms. And even if even if our immigrant neighbors are doing things the right way, as it were, are still getting hassled and taken. And we've all seen and heard the reports of even U.S. citizens getting detained for hours and hours of this because of what they look like or their ancestors coming over from another country. So it's impacting our fellow citizens and our neighbors, and it's very concerning to me.
Yeah, and that's the activist role in you as to why you're doing that. I'm just playing devil's advocate here because our listeners probably are saying, well, so what, Nick? I mean, so what? These flights are coming and going. They were coming and going when Biden was president. Why are you so intent on making sure these are tracked and making sure that they're documented? What's your answer to that?
Because the ICE and DHS are now going so far that the Supreme Court, that's packed with Trump's own picks, has had to tell them to tap on the brakes and slow it down and reconsider it in several high-profile cases, the fact that they had overstepped what the normal traditional bounds are. They needed to remind DHS and ICE that the right to due process is guaranteed to everyone on U.S. soil, not just American citizens, and that much of the Constitution is here to protect us from the government, in a nutshell. So I believe these should be broad bipartisan values. If the situation on the street now is that there are federal government agents roaming around the streets indiscriminately, taking people without normal cause, mm-hmm. Even if they're American citizens. And I think to any American, that should be waving bright red flags in your face. And that's not just, you know, some hippie left-wing activist nonsense. That's something I think we should all, anyone who's taken a civics class here understands those are important key elements of our of being an American, is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the federal government is here taking that away from many of our neighbors right now. And I think I'm glad to see many other people are standing up and taking notice. And I share the frustration that many others have that many, since it's a federal government action with respect to immigration, that state and local and other levels of government are not in a position where they can do a whole lot about it. Which is also very frustrating, but there are lots of people standing up for their neighbors and lots of different safe, legal, and creative ways to help improve the plight that our immigrant neighbors are facing right now.
Talking to Nick Benson, local aviation enthusiast and obviously an activist who is kind of documenting and making sure these ICE flights are documented. You mentioned that there are using the same kind of protections that private citizens would use, high-profile private citizens. Mm-hmm. But, and we understand the reason that those people use those protections is because for safety and protection.
Sure.
Again, devil's advocate, by you documenting these flights, we've heard, you know, that the federal government say these their agents often feel threatened by the general public because of the work that they're doing. Are you concerned that you're exposing those agents or others to dangers by documenting these flights?
I don't believe I am exposing anyone to any danger. Anyone who's at the Terminal 1 in Minneapolis on the south side of the airport can look out and see what's going on at Signature Aviation, just as you did when you were riding
yep.
by. It's clearly obvious what's going on. They're driving around in vans that have a big Department of Homeland Security logo on the side. It's happening here and at many other cities across the United States. It's not a unique problem to Minnesota. It's not a unique issue going on in Minnesota, and it's been happening out in the open, transparently, with easy to access data for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want us to see it now, I would ask, why is the government interested in less transparency now when they claim to be champions of transparency, radical transparency,
yep.
I think is a phrase I
right.
heard the administration using. So that what I have observed here contradicts that.
And just to be clear again, Nick, when these as we pointed out during this interview, that these flights were still happening when Biden was president, but when those flights were happening, they were documented, and they were that information on those flights was available, and now it's not?
That is correct. Right. Yep, the information was transparent, and if they're feeling good about what they're doing,
yeah.
And I can see from that perspective, the transparency should be good from regardless of how you see all of this. I do believe that it's that the way things are happening without enough due process is a bad thing. But if you happen to believe that all of these citizens deserve the harassment from federal government agents, even though they're citizens, and you think they should be getting deported even to countries they didn't come from, that's you would still at least want the receipts and the evidence that it's happening. I feel like you should be, I see the comment sections when I post these pictures. A lot of the comments are people saying that that's great. Fill them up.
Yeah.
Let's see the receipts and let's have the transparency out there. So,
right. I mean, we're getting
going on.
Yeah. Nick, I agree with you. I mean, we're getting texts to the same effect saying who cares? Like they're deporting criminals and you're 100% right. Okay. If they're doing that, why are they hiding the information from the public?
Exactly.
When it used to happen with other presidents, they were providing that information. I think that's the big question here.
I think I suspect one of the reasons is the administration doesn't like the fact that over 70% of these people who are being detained and deported right now don't have serious criminal violations in their past. They're taking people who are following the rules and are, the immigration system is a very big, complicated thing.
And
it's not a simple path from point citizenship. It's not a point A to point B sort of thing. There are many ways to do it. And even for our friends who are doing things by the rules as they apply to their situation, they're getting picked up at court dates.
Yep.
There was an incident in the news I saw where they were at a swearing-in ceremony. That should be a cornerstone. The people who follow the things right, they just need to take that oath, and they're citizens. They've been following the thing. They're working on getting that American dream, just as I know many of our ancestors, for the folks listening here. I know we're a nation that is made up with many, many immigrants here, my family included. These people were pursuing the American dream, and ICE came in and snapped them up right before they were about to take the oath. That's not hyperbole. That's what's actually happening out there, and I think we all need to be more concerned about it. It's agents of the federal government are out hassling American citizens right now because they have darker colored skin than I do, and that's it's something we should all be concerned about. That's un-American, plain and simple. That's not hippie left wing nonsense. That's just basic civics.
Nick, you mentioned you're frequently on these websites and, posting pictures of not only these planes, but also just other aviation enthusiast kind of interaction. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, free of controversy, but you mentioned you get comments on the things you post. What kind of pushback have you faced? And do you fear pushback like from the government? Because I would think, if you're monitoring things that the government is doing, that they're trying to keep hidden, that they would have a problem with that.
That's their prerogative. If they think that this is the transparency of how the government is operating is a bad thing, that doesn't seem unreasonable from what I've heard. But there's so much hot air getting thrown around out there about activists who are standing up for their neighbors being enemies of the state or being domestic terrorists or whatever. It sounds like a lot of hot air to me, but I don't know. As far as pushback locally here, I've had very little pushback when I've been on airport property, just as I have for the last decade or so, taking pictures of airplanes, in and around the MSTs is well tolerated. The airport likes the transparency of people out there and having the ability to see something and say something. So they seem to be sticking with that kind of laissez-faire attitude with respect to people being out there and taking pictures. So that's good. And I, I appreciate that. So that's been good with respect to the airport itself and Mac. So that's good. The transparency is still there, and I appreciate that that hasn't been hindered at all. So I hope it stays that way, because Mac, while they have to follow, there's nothing they can do to stop these flights here. Aviation's a very egalitarian thing. They need to serve all comers. But being able to be there and have transparency for what's going on and document this, I think, is also important. So,
Nick, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. And we'll reach out again, maybe for a less controversial topic next time.
Yeah, I would love to talk to you again. And just, one of those planes is descending into Minneapolis now. It'll be here in about 20 minutes. So
thanks.
It's an ongoing process. It hasn't been slowing down.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. Nick Benson on WCCO. We'll react to what he had to say 10:50 after this on CCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
10:54, that is your Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to upgrade to LeafGuard brand gutters, the only seamless system guaranteed never to clog. Enjoy free installation labor all December long. Yeah, if nothing else, I mean, again, you can agree all you want with what the Trump administration is doing with removing as many illegal immigrants as possible, because I think that was the number one issue that people voted for Donald Trump. But then ask yourself, well, why are they hiding the information about how many? I would think that if the frequency of ICE charter flights leaving MSP has increased three or fourfold from the Biden administration, the Trump administration would be shouting from the hilltops, look at this. We're doing it four times what Joe Biden was doing it. That's how many more people we're getting rid of. So why are they hiding that information? Why are those flight logs, or why the flight information suddenly disappeared? And it's not just that. There's an article in the paper today about the immigration courts down there at the Whipple Building by Fort Snelling that used to be accessible to the public and journalists. Suddenly those are not as accessible as they used to be. Why is that the case? If this is the work that the people want, meaning that, yes, we want illegals out of the country, why are they hiding that process? What's four times zero, dumbass? Thank you. That's a very respectful text. And you obviously didn't listen yourself, dumbass, because I just talked to Nick, and he was saying that, yes, planes were flying out, ICE planes were flying out when Biden was president, too. So open your ears, dumbass. 10:56 on News Talk 830 WCCO. You come at me with an insulting thing like that, I'm going to come back at you, too. So, sorry. I've reached my limit on that. We'll lighten it up greatly, especially if you're interested in the Minnesota Twins, because the Twins announced within the last hour that they have secured new minority partners. What does that mean for the future of the ball club? Will there be another sale coming? Also, Joe Poled, thank you very much, no longer in charge of the Twins. Those duties now fall to his brother, Tom Poled. Bobby Nightingale is the Twins beat writer for the Star Tribune. He will join us after the news to discuss the changes within the Twins organization and what this means moving forward, considering the debt that the Twins have had that really prevented them from an outright sale in the first place, if that changes things, and whether or not these new limited partners will be there for the long haul, or if they're just helping get rid of that debt so that the team can be sold to another entity in its entirety. Lots of changes. We'll see if Twins fans are acceptable of those changes. We'll get to it after the news. Adam, without Jordana today, on a Wednesday, she'll be out the rest of the week in Florida taking care of her mother. We'll be back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.